I want us all to think for a moment. What would you say are your most precious possessions? No, I don't mean in the physical or material areas of life, but in the much more important area of life, the area of our relationships. Let me state the question maybe a bit differently. Who matters most to you? If you're a parent, who consumes the most of your time, attention, and energy? The answer should be obvious. It's hard to describe to someone who hasn't yet had the experience of being a parent the way we feel about our children. No matter how young or old they may be, there's a deep concern, a powerful feeling for our children that just doesn't seem to diminish with age, ours or theirs. Once a parent, always a parent, is the saying. My parents are both well into their 80s, and still to this day, my mother repeats that saying. Anything that happens in the lives of her children, even her 60-year-old, that isn't all that positive, is cause for concern. Children are central to the purpose and plan of God. God is deeply concerned with children on at least two levels. He's concerned with our children and with us as adults, his spiritual children, and what he wants us to learn from our children about how we are to be his children. Turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 10. This is one of three accounts. There are three accounts in the Gospels, in the three synoptic Gospels, of Christ blessing the little children. And it's from these that, upon these that we base our custom, our tradition, of the blessing of the little children each year. Beginning in verse 13, I picked this particular one of the three accounts because I think it gives the most details. It says, then they, we'll read the whole passage and then go back and look at some of its parts. Then they brought young children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Now let's go back and read the passage again and stop at a couple of points along the way. It says, then they brought little young children to him. Now in the original Greek, that word brought is in the imperfect verb tense or the progressive verb tense. It's not talking about a single, solitary, isolated event that happens and then it's done and over with. It could be just as easily translated, they were bringing or kept on bringing. In other words, apparently it was something that happened probably repeatedly, over and over. Evidently, those people back then had the same kind of concerns for their children that we today have. They knew they needed help in rearing their children, in rightly caring for them, nurturing them, raising them up to adulthood, and they knew they needed that help from God. And evidently, a lot of the people back then recognized Jesus Christ for what he actually was. They saw him as one who had been sent forth from God. And if they could get his attention on their children, if he would bless their children were being blessed of God. Also, we might note here, it says they brought young children to him. And in verse 16, it said he took them up in his arms. So we're not talking about a 12 or 14-year-old here. In fact, in the parallel account in Luke 18:15. It uses the word infants. So we're talking about very young children, children who can actually be picked up, held, and cuddled. And these people wanted Christ to touch them. The laying on of hands symbolizes a setting apart for a special or particular purpose. And they certainly wanted their children to be given special attention and to receive God's blessing. Notice the disciples thinking Jesus was too important and too busy to be troubled with no account little children, and I put that in quote marks. Jesus was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. They're very important to God." Our children have God's attention. They are important to him. And he says, "For of such is the kingdom of God." He says, "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Now, how does a little child receive anything? Generally, with pure, unfeigned, unabashed, uninhibited, unrestrained, pure joy and humble gratitude and bubbling enthusiasm. Ever give a kid just a promise to give him a little treat and then make them maybe wait just a little while, and when you give it to them, they couldn't be happier. It kind of reminds me, and I don't mean to compare children with animals necessarily, but, you know, our little dogs. I say, "Come on in, I'll give you a treat." They come in, oh, they're just so happy. They're just brimming with joy. And I give them the treat, and they almost take my fingers off. They're so eager to get it. Well, that's the way children receive anything that's given to them. And this is how God wants to see us look forward to his kingdom and all of his promises. Little children tend to just wear their hearts on their sleeve, so to speak. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, "Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God." Well, little children are pure. They have no ulterior motives. What you see is what you get. What they feel, what they think, you know, because they don't hide it. If they're happy, they're sad, whether they're hurt, whether they're brimming over with joy, you're going to know about it. There's another quality, however, in children that God really appreciates, and he wants to see it in us. It isn't specifically pointed out here. Let's turn back to Matthew 18. Matthew 18 is not the parallel account of this, but it says something similar. And Jesus uses children as his example to get the point across. In this case, there was a different issue, beginning in verse 1. "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven.'" Can we see the relationship here, the parallel, shall we say, between the relationship between us and our children and the relationship between us and God? And that's exactly what Jesus is trying to get across here. It isn't just a story about children, but rather about the qualities and the characteristics that he wants to see in us, his spiritual children, who are ultimately to become a permanent part of his family. He says in verse 4, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Little children, generally, when they're very young at least, are humble. They're humble, they're teachable, they're willing to be taught, they want to be taught, they're hungry for knowledge. They have an eager desire to know, to to see, to experience. They want to come to know their parents, their grandparents. They naturally want to bond with us. You know, having become a grandparent, I can tell you that your outlook and perspective changes. It grows, it broadens. What we see in children is a bit different as grandparents than when we were young parents ourselves. And all we had before us was our young charges, our responsibility. I was overwhelmed with the responsibility of parenthood. I had to provide for these kids. I had to protect them. I had to take care of them. I had to keep them out of trouble. I had to wisely discipline them. And of course, I didn't always do it wisely. But as grandparents, you look at children a little differently. You look at them as these precious little gifts, and it's so gratifying when you see they really do want to bond with you. And they do. We don't get to see our grandchildren as often as I'd like, but when we make our trip down there to Arizona to see them, one of them in particular, my wife refers to as her Velcro. She's just stuck to her all the time. She can't sit on the couch without this kid constantly leaning against her. She can't go to bed at night without her wanting to crawl in bed and sleep with Grandma, which I understand on some of her trips that she's made without me, this has happened. I mean, the whole night is spent in the same bed together. This is the way God wants us to be with Him. He wants to bond with us, and He wants us to bond with Him. And we should have that spiritually childlike quality of wanting to get to know our Father. Remember in the real Lord's Prayer there in John 17, Jesus Christ Himself, speaking to His Father, said, "This is eternal life, that they come to know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent." So we should have that eager desire for knowledge, the desire to be taught, the desire to learn, even the desire to be corrected, the knowledge leading to eternal life. God wants to hear from us. He wants to communicate with us, and we should do so regularly, just as we want our children to communicate with us. You know, we want to hear from them. We want to know what's on their minds. We want to know what it is that troubles them. In Revelation 5:8, it says that our prayers, the prayers of the saints, go up to God, and they're compared symbolically to incense. They bring God a pleasing aroma. God's attention is on our children. I'd like for all of us today to be thinking about these things as the blessing of little children takes place here in just a few minutes. Our children are very important to God. He cares very deeply about them. He also wants us to learn something from all this, as the scriptures we've looked at here today should clearly show us. We are His children. And He feels about us in much the same way as we feel about our children and grandchildren, especially when we display the childlike qualities of wide-eyed innocence, humble teachableness, an eager desire to get to know Him as our loving Father, and an attitude of enthusiasm for and pure joy over all He promises and has in store for us. The experience of family life in general, and of parenting in particular, should teach us a great deal about the whole purpose and meaning of this human existence.